If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Here on the post-signing day extravaganza, a lot of good things to talk about, some bad things to talk about. We're going to shoot you straight about all of them. A couple things that I want to say right out of the gate here. The first thing is for those of you that say, hey, everything is okay, you're wrong. And for those of you that say the sky is falling, you're wrong too. Let's just go ahead and get that established now. There are a lot of people out there that, you know, they're chicken little doomsday sayers, and there's other people out there that think, you know what, everything is going to be okay. Everything may be okay, but it's going to be reliant on the changes that we make and the things that we do over the course of the next few weeks. All right, let's go ahead and get that established. So both sides of the lunatic fringe are wrong. It's like everything else, right? The extremists, the people at both ends of the spectrum are wrong, and the truth lies somewhere in the middle. So we're going to talk about that. But we're going to talk about the things that went right. We're going to talk about the things that went wrong. We're going to talk about some things that need to change. And talk about some things we need to keep doing. But the reality of it is, another signing day has come and gone. And I'll be honest with you, after we recorded the show, on Monday, things started kind of shaking loose a little bit. And then if you're a member of jeanspage.com, you were prepared, or at least had a good idea about how today was going to go. I'm going to recount some of those things, because one thing that I've learned too, because there's a lot of people out there that cannot wait for the hero to stumble, right? You get one thing wrong and they forget about the dozen things you got right. That's how life works, right? I got thick skin, I can take it. The reality of it is that we signed a good class, not a really good class, not a great class. But this class is ultimately going to be defined by what happens in the portal. We knew that going in. That's not to excuse any of the failures of the day, and there were some. But we've got a chance to kind of make it up. And the question you ask yourself is, hey, what, Steve, what level of confidence do you have that we're going to have a great portal class? Well, I'll be honest with you, not great. Now, I think that we're going to do a good job in some spots. We'll probably go out and get a couple of good offensive linemen. I got a lot of faith in Bumpus. I think Bump will go out there and, get some playmakers for us. I think we'll probably get a good running back. But I'm concerned about defense. Even with the opportunity to pay well and to provide an opportunity to start right out of the gate, I'm in Missouri mode, right? You got to show me, okay? Now, I'm a guy that's, a lot of people say they're glass half filled. Other guys half empty. I'm just happy to have a glass. And we're going to talk a lot about that today as we kind of move forward. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. I love the Bulldog Burger Company group. You do too. Every time I go in there and put my feet under their table, I know I'm going to be taken care of. There is some consistency with service, with atmosphere, with pricing, with integrity and product delivery, everything about it, I know what to expect. That's why I continue to go back. It's because I know that I'm going to be treated well. Why would I continue to go somewhere that's kind of hit or miss? It's very consistent at Bulldog Burger Company, which is the sign of great management. Bulldog Burger Company, with 3 great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Go by and see them next time you're in town or on the way to town. Get the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. It's true. In addition to that, have a great restaurant quality hamburger. You'll be glad you did. If you're new to Bulldog Burger Company, start with the Bulldog. And after you've had that, you've kind of gotten established and you understand, hey, you know what? This is a great rock and roll straight ahead American hamburger. I'm going to venture out a little bit. I'm going to get the mission. I get the pico de gallo on the side. I don't like onions, as you guys know. I like the Good Morning Burger, the Fresh from 15. Find your own favorites at Bulldog Burger Company and get that chocolate shake on the ride home. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet, M-E-A-T. All right, let's start with the new additions. Of course, there were no surprises for us. You know, that's part of the deal, right? As far as there were no surprises of the good variety is what I mean. Like the three guys that committed today, we knew they were going to commit. We had their stories ready. I'd love to wake up on signing day and have like a surprise commitment. In my career, that's never happened. You know, Robert Elliott, we knew that he was going to commit. Chris Jones, we knew that he was going to stick with Mississippi State. I mean, you know, there are things like that that happen, but we tend to get, you know, some lead on that. So there was no surprise Mississippi State commitment. And I've never gone into these things, and I say this all the time, I've never gone into signing day or a commitment announcement and thought we were not going to get somebody. And then got them. I've never been surprised like that. Never. I don't know how you guys feel, but that's never happened to me. You know, maybe for some of you that have followed recruiting, you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't think we were going to get him. We got him. It's never happened for me. But the first big get of the day was Kyle Johnson. Talked about him a little bit on the show. It's a good get, guys, too. A guy that we thought we had a chance to get back in June. And some other people in the industry thought we were going to continue to get him right up to the point that he picked Houston. I never changed my crystal ball pick with him, but I'll be honest with you. I thought we were probably done with him. And then next thing you know, he kind of gets back in the mix with us. He reaches out to the Mississippi State staff to see if he still has a spot here. Comes to a football game at his own expense. Re-engages with the staff. And the next thing you know, State's back in the mix. Then he takes the visit to Virginia. Virginia offers him scholarship. I talked to Jackie that covers UVA for 247. And they were thinking, you know, maybe he's going to go to Virginia. And it felt like it was down between Mississippi State and UVA. And so the talk was, you know, I don't know if you've been to Bunky, Louisiana. It's not a big place. It's smaller than Starkville, considerably. He was going to be a fish out of water in Houston. And the family really didn't want him going to Houston. And so Starkville was a little more his speed. And he loved UVA. It was a difficult decision for him. However, it's closer to home. It's in the SEC. That's always kind of been his dream. And so it ends up being Mississippi State. And again, this is a young guy, too, that has done some pretty important things in his career. Guys, they're 13-0 at Bunky High School. They're going to play Friday night for the chance to go to the Louisiana Superdome and compete for a state championship. It's that serious. So, of course, offers from Virginia and Houston, in addition to Arkansas State, Baylor, Grambling State, University of Louisiana, Louisiana Tech, Louisiana Monroe, Navy, Ole Miss, Rice, UTSA, and Vanderbilt. So pretty impressive offer sheet, you know, for a guy at a small club in Louisiana. He goes about 5'11", 170. 247 rates him as a 91, which is a pretty solid four-star. Composite of just over 90. So he's pretty much a consensus four-star at the cornerback position. Very interesting get for Mississippi State without any question. Now, as this thing kind of came into focus in the final 48 hours, it wasn't a surprise, right? I mean, you know, I can't say that we totally expected him, but we felt like things were leaning our way. And so we get him. So it's a great addition to the class. And for a lot of you, you're like, hey, when's the last time we picked up a four-star on National Signing Day that flipped from another school? It doesn't happen very often in these parts. So it's a great get for Mississippi State. Pretty excited about him. If you watch his film, that's a guy that can really play. No real surprise from the junior college ranks. We pick up Jakeem Shumpert out of Northwest Mississippi Community College. Ends up with about 30 offers. The 247 rates him as an 85. He's got an 86 composite. So we're a little bit behind the industry here. But yeah, another good get for State. We talk about an offer sheet here. Got a bunch of offers, a lot of G5s. But you run through here and you look at the size here. And yeah, I get Virginia Tech, but it was mainly G5 schools. A native of Shannon, Mississippi, but a massive 6'5", 325-pound guy that's played some winning football in his career. When we talk about getting bigger on the line of scrimmage, well, this will do it. As Jackie Sherrill used to say, big people beat little people up. So big, beefy offensive lineman here. And again, a guy from just up the road, Mississippi State. And again, a guy that State was evaluating for a while and then kind of went all in to get him. Matthew LaFoe, interesting guy here, the third edition of the day, rated early on as an 84, and I don't agree with that. I don't think that matches the tape. I don't ever use offers to quantify the value of a prospect because so many of the offers that are claimed are not real offers, are not committable offers. But Matthew picked up some pretty cool stuff down the stretch. Rated as top interior offensive line in junior college ranks. But, of course, Mississippi State, Arizona, Arizona State, BYU, Cal, ECU, Florida, Fresno State, Georgia State, Illinois, New Mexico State, Texas State, UAB, South Florida, Oregon State, USC didn't offer. And Oregon State, did they? My bad. But, yeah, a nice collection of offers. A final three of Arizona, Florida, and Mississippi State. That's a good win for Mississippi State. And Florida had him scheduled to officially visit this weekend. And so he signs today, which precludes him from taking any additional visits. And he is a May graduate, so he'll be here for spring practice. So, yeah, those were three things that we could get excited about. And then, if you're a member of JeansPage.com, you knew Tuesday night. So things were kind of shaken loose with longtime Mississippi State commitment, Laquavion Jackson. I'm looking here to make sure I've got these guys flipped a sign. Then we do. Laquavion Jackson was a guy that State took early on, and State gets beat up every now and again by our own fans about their inability to evaluate. Now, I've got some questions about some of the guys early on that we took in that month of June. Those official visits, and there were some guys like Christopher Johnson we ended up kind of moving away from. But Lojack was a guy I was kind of on the fence about. And then Neil Stopchinski, former director of scouting for Dan Mullen at Mississippi State, works for us over at JeansPage.com. And you can read his very detailed analysis of the Mississippi State commitments on their profiles. If you're not a member, you should be. You can get an annual subscription for 50% off. Treat yourself to that. But another guy that State evaluates early, offer sheet's not really impressive, and then you get later in the process, and then Louisville and Florida State both come in late, and he was a take for both schools. Now, Florida State made a big push late Tuesday, and Lojack told him, hey, I'm going to go to Mississippi State. This morning, Louisville refuses to go away, and they come back, and it looks like, hey, it may be a push. Louisville may flip him. And so all day we kind of waited with bated breath, kind of waiting to see what he was going to do. And it was so back and forth that we kept you updated. And I don't know how people that don't have a subscription to Jeans Page make it through a day like today, because you're just kind of waiting to find out. And you're like, oh, what happened? Well, I don't know. Well, basically what happened here is Louisville came back and had a little more NIL work to offer. And so basically it boiled down to a negotiation. And people are like, Steve, I hate that that's where we are. Well, I do too, but it's the reality of where we are. So State hangs on. And there's a lot of things to like about this recruitment. Go watch his film. The guy had a really good year at Mosley. Tremendous year this year down there in Lynn Haven, Florida. Really the straw that stirs a drink there. One of the best players in his region. But good evaluation early, you build the relationship, and then late, when things get a little bit hairy, Corey Bell, the guy that's kind of the South Florida recruiting expert at State, that relationship proved to be very significant. A lot of guys on the defensive side have been beat up, and rightfully so. But Corey Bell, I think his group played pretty well this year. But, you know, down the stretch here, you know, the guys that he brought in ultimately proved to be really good players. And I think the late run from Louisville and Florida State kind of validates Mississippi State's belief in Lojack. And real quickly here, I want to go back to that June visit group real quickly and kind of go back and look and see, you know, kind of what happened with those guys and, you know, kind of who did what and all that kind of stuff. So here we are. All right, so we had the we had the first group that came in on the weekend of Friday the 14th. And here's who was part of that group, okay? And we talk about the ability to evaluate, okay? You get Colin Wilson. You get Josiah Clemens. And now Josiah Clemens flipped to Memphis today. Now, let me give you some background on what happened with Josiah Clemens. So a couple weekends ago, State takes two more tackles. You get Spencer Dolan. You get some other guys lined up. Well, Josiah gets a little bit, he's like, hey, I've been with these guys all along. Why are they continuing to recruit other tackles? And so we had a discussion with him. He's like, hey, we're going to move you to guard. Well, he didn't want to do that. So then he reaches out to some of the other schools that have been recruiting him and said, hey, do I have a spot? And Memphis is like, yeah, we'd love to have you. Yeah, I mean, we'd love to. If things don't work out at Mississippi State, we'd love to have you. We go on Monday night. We think we've got it resolved. And then yesterday, things got all hairy again. And I informed everybody on the jeanspage.com True Maroon board Tuesday night to expect him to sign with the Memphis Tigers. And he does. And the paperwork was all done. He had a school ceremony today. But, here's the thing that I would say about that. You can't take too many developmental guys, but when you've got a guy at 6'7", 335 in your home state, you're going to have a little more patience with him. But, that's a guy that came in, proved to be a state commitment. A guy at State brought in very early. But again, we thought we had things resolved on Monday. Things got a little bit screwy yesterday, and ultimately he goes to Memphis. But it is what it is. Lojack comes in the same weekend. Darion Horsley, another guy that we bring in, and he committed then. We ended up moving on. We dropped him, and he signs with East Carolina, and that works out well for him. He was initially favoring East Carolina before he came in for the visit. Then the chance to play for Mississippi State was just too much to overcome. And ultimately, unlike a lot of other players, he still had one of his favorites he could go back to. A lot of guys, they get dropped later in the process, and they're scrambling a little bit. Well, fortunately for Darion Horsley, who is a great kid, he was able to get back with Eastern Carolina, a school that he liked initially. LaKendrick James came in. There was never any doubt about him. Sekou Smith Jr. comes in. Of course, he signs today. Christopher Johnson was part of that. He committed. That's another guy that gets processed out of the class. Micah Jones from Madison Central came in. We felt pretty good about him. He committed to Florida. That wasn't unexpected. He sticks with Florida. We really thought we'd be able to kind of go back to him because of the fact we thought this Billy Napier staff would be in trouble. Steve Miller signs with USC. Flips from Mississippi State to USC. A kid from Greene County, Greensboro, Georgia. And he's like, you know what? I want to go take a trip to L.A. Everything's cool. I just want to take the trip. He gets out there and thinking, you know what? This is my speed. I've never experienced anything like this. So he signs with USC. South Carolina kind of made an interesting late. But he sticks with USC. And then Kevontae Coa-Henry commits to Mississippi State, flips to Alabama. Ontavious Richardson wanted to commit to Mississippi State. We elected to kind of wait and see on him. He ends up signing with Notre Dame. Crazy, right? And, of course, Zay Hardy. And I'm going to talk a little bit about Zay Hardy here. He ultimately commits to State and then flips to South Carolina today. Now, some of the things I'm about to say, you're going to say, Steve, it's sour grapes. Well, no, it's not. I actually like Tywin Coleman better than Zay Hardy. You see those four stars next to his name, and you're like, hey, you know, this guy could be an impact player for us. He's listed at 6'6", 280, and he's not that big. When I went and watched him against Itawamba, I was very underwhelmed. And what I tried to tell myself is, well, he's just kind of getting back. You know, he's been suspended. But I think Zay Hardy probably needs a year on the next level to then be a difference maker in year two, if that makes sense. You know, like Pernell McPhee came in, and Pernell McPhee obviously was a bigger, more athletic guy. It took Pernell about halfway through his junior year at State to kind of figure it out, and he made some plays late. And then, of course, you know how dominant he was as a senior. I think Zay Hardy could have a similar development path. I think Zay is going to need that year to acclimate to the SEC before he really becomes a difference maker. And I say that because a lot of people thought he was going to come in and just be a dominant player. Even Montez Sweat needed a year, and he was a Power 5 bounce back out of Michigan State. And he needed that year, that junior year, to kind of figure it out. And so I don't know how much he would have helped us, but I'll tell you this, I would much rather have had him than not had him, seeing how things broke loose, because we kind of began to view Tywin Coleman as a bit of a bonus. It's like, hey, we got Zay Hardy, and we got Mason Clifton, you know, we got Jamarcus Poe. So we don't want to run the risk of, you know, losing Hardy by chasing Coleman. So ultimately, Coleman comes in and visits State. We push him to commit. He won't. Takes visits to Illinois, Florida State. Ultimately picks Florida State. So in the end, we end up losing both of those guys. And so either one of them, I would feel better about the class. Like if we'd gotten Tywin Coleman last night and lost Hardy today, it would still sting. But it wouldn't sting and suck nearly as bad as it does right now. Because there's a possibility we could have got them both, we end up with neither. And now you've...
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Feel kind of silly and said, you know what, we should have pushed Tywin Coleman even harder, get him in the class, and then if Hardy leaves, your needs are still somewhat met. We're still scrambling now at defensive tackle. Right? That's the point of all that. We also had Jalen Morgan in that weekend, and that there were some people kind of forecasting him to go to Mississippi State. I told you all then that until Georgia told him no, he was going to go to Georgia. And ultimately, that's exactly what he did. He stuck with them. Tennessee kind of made things interesting for a little while. But he was going to make Georgia tell him no, and they did not. Squirrel, Ladarian Clarity, he was the guy early on that a lot of people thought was going to commit to Mississippi State, and he never would. Never would. And I give David Johnson some credit. David Johnson, from the very beginning, felt like that Ladarian Clarity was going to be a rebel. And ultimately, he proved to be. Committed to Ole Miss. And ultimately signed with Ole Miss. And it doesn't look like Jalen Morgan's listed as a signee with Georgia. So we'll monitor that too. But I bring that up because, you know, outside of a couple of guys that got, you know, Housley gets processed and Clemens, you know, kind of takes it of his own volition to kind of move on. I mean, some big-time programs, right? So I would say our evaluation of those guys is pretty good. We had a midweek visit with Jermond Odoms that ended up going to SMU. Devin Ferris, another guy, went to SMU. Those are both Texas guys from Houston. And then that next weekend, you have A.J. Rice. Longtime commitment to the Mississippi State class. No surprise there. Had a chance to see him play. Love him. Ramondo Johnson was committed to West Virginia. He was a guy, too, that maybe Rutgers was involved with a little bit. And you start thinking, okay, well, he's got some connections to New Jersey, could end up there. Raimondo really didn't like doing media. Ultimately, sticks in West Virginia. And again, some people were forecasting that we may get him. At no point did he ever give any of us any indication that he was going to come to Mississippi State. You bring in Diamond Davian Jackson. We get him, too. And there was a discussion about LSU making a late push. They didn't. Jerron Johnson from Bartlett, Tennessee. I saw him play in person against Kirkwood High School. Really love his game, too. Very productive weekend. Verzell Shepard, the only commitment that hasn't signed, and I'm leaning towards him not signing. I'm hearing he may end up having to go to junior college, so we'll see. It may be the fall grades are good and puts him in a position to qualify. Maybe you sign him in February. But as of now, not a part of it. You know, Austin Howard flipped from Vanderbilt to State. And then once Vanderbilt beat Alabama, Vanderbilt got back in the game and State was struggling. He flips back to Vanderbilt. And to be honest with you, I think they prioritized him a little bit more and probably out-recruited us. Kevin Otis came in, and I'll be honest with you, Kevin Otis, like, he was leaning to State for over and over and over and over and over again. And, you know, he wanted to get a big push from State. It never really happened. I think part of that, too, Kevin Otis is about 6'1". He's listed at 6'2", 295. You may have noticed that his ranking has come down. He was a 4-star, now he's a 3-star. When he committed to Arkansas, he was a 4-star, which created a lot of problems. A lot of people are like, hey, you know, how are we letting an out-of-state 4-star defensive lineman go when we need defensive linemen? And I'm okay with that. Kevin Otis is a lot more of like what we have. I'm not in any way discounting him as a player, but in order for us to get bigger, we got to get bigger. Mario Nash, disappointed in how that whole thing played out, and he had told us not to really worry about the Florida State visit. He was going to take it. Feel like he owed it to them, goes out there and commits, and ultimately signs with them. Cortez Thomas, of course, signed with Ole Miss, added Mason Dunn. I think early on with Mason Dunn, I think, give Ole Miss some credit, I think they made him feel like a priority very early in this process, and I think he's the best corner in the state. I think State was a little bit slow to the party with him. We offered him, but I give Ole Miss some credit early on because they made him feel like a big deal. And I think he took a couple of visits. He went to Memphis for a thing, you know, but, you know, it didn't work out. Tyshawn Willis, of course, loved that guy's game. Tyler Miller, of course, committed to LSU early. There was a lot of chatter that either State or Ole Miss were going to be able to flip him. Neither did. Both hosted him on official visits, but he holds true. And there were some people in his family that felt like he needed to leave the state to make his National Football League dreams come true. The Tyler Lockhart situation, there's still some things with this that kind of still have to play out, and I'm going to leave it at that. It's one of those crazy scenarios when it doesn't appear like the family is in agreement. Now, that's happened several times over the years, and it's an unfortunate, right, for the kid. But sometimes parents know best. And the thing that I was told is that Tyler, of course, a younger guy, just 17 years of age, that his family really wanted him to be with TJ and Fat Clark, felt that he would do better having those guys around him, help him acclimate. Pete Golding from Ole Miss comes in, does a great job late. They get Tyler to officially visit last weekend. All under the guise of going to the Egg Bowl, right? And Golding basically sold him on, hey, we're a winning defense. We're one of the best defenses in the country. We're going to restock this thing and make a run. A lot of people say, hey, Steve, it's about money. Well, we can pay him too. And this is not about money. At the end of the day, Pete Golding sold his product better, and he has a better product to sell. But there's still some things with this one that that we'll revisit. Kamario Taylor, you know, again, I told you guys not to worry about him. Georgia came in and offered him late. Again, that validates Mississippi State's belief in him. Texas A&M made some calls late. And so getting him in, and of course his brother commits to Mississippi State today, a 2026 prospect, great, great player. He's a dog. A dog. Caleb Bell comes in for a midweek visit. That's the defensive lineman out of Alpharetta, Georgia. When he committed to Arkansas, we weren't surprised by that. Well, I guess some people may have been. If you listened to me and followed my crystal ball predictions, you shouldn't have been. We bring him back in. But because of the fact, Caleb was like, hey, they're bringing in so many defensive linemen from the high school ranks. Maybe I need to consider some other options. He does come in, never flips. A couple weeks later, we bring in Joseph Skipworth, you know, and the more recent names too. And so I just bring all that stuff. Odera Okaka, again, you followed us. Cal. Signed with Cal today. But, not a lot of surprises in that respect, you know, down the stretch, other than the Tyler Lockhart deal. Let's take this moment and thank our friends at Close at Blair.com, C-L-O-S-E, with Blair, B-L-A-I-R. I always have to second guess myself. Close with Blair. I mean, we all know how to spell Blair, right? Listen, one of the things about adulthood you may not know is you need a mortgage guy or a gal. You need a mortgage loan originator in your life because you never know when you may want to make a change. Whether you're looking for your next house, your first house, your retirement home, or perhaps to refinance, you need somebody with the know-how to get you to the closing table. Thus the name closewithblair.com. You can get a hold of Blair at 601-500-2344. Again, at 601-500-2344. Hit him up. Let him know what your needs are. Get that pre-qualification letter if you're a new home buyer, and maybe if you're even an experienced home buyer. You don't need to be shopping out of your means. And Blair can help you get that handled. And there's a lot of great real estate agents in the great state of Mississippi, especially within the Bulldog family. And they get extra motivated when you get that pre-qualification letter because it's like gold to them. It's like, hey, we've got financing approved. Let's go get a house, right? So Blair, 24 years of experience in the industry, one of the best in the country, top 1% close ratio in the country, 3 consecutive years. He can be your advocate with underwriting. A lot of Boneyard listeners have closed their loans with Blair. He's licensed to practice in multiple states. So hit him up and see if he can help you. Chances are that he can. That's closeatblair.com. Okay. The things that upset me, let's get to that, okay? So to kind of break down the class here, and you know, I tell you what's interesting too, is like we had no drama out of Tony Mitchell, right? Remember that? They got that deal done early on. It was a big kind of early commitment, and you were like, oh, yeah, well, we'll see what happens when everybody else comes calling. You know, Ole Miss and Pete Golding went back on him too, and he was like, nah, I'm sticking. I'm good, you know, and so it's important to kind of understand we got some wins today too. You lose that, you know, you do. You think, oh, well, you know, everything is rotten, Steve. It's just not true. But 16 Mississippians in the class, 7 from the great state of Alabama, 6 from Georgia, 5 from Tennessee. I'm on the wrong list here. I'm looking at visitors. Let me get to your commitment page. My mistake. It's been a long day. Went to bed at 1:30, got up at 6, burning the midnight oil. All right, so 8 Mississippians, 6 from Alabama, 3 Floridians, 3 from Louisiana, 2 from Tennessee, 1 from Georgia, and then 1 from Tacoma, Washington. Yeah, that's Matthew LaFoe. 1 quarterback, and we knew that it was a 1 quarterback class. Kamario was our guy. 2 running backs, and we'll take a running back out of the portal. But I like both of our prep guys. They got to get bigger. They do. But they're explosive. I like what we did at the running back position. I would like a guy with a little more girth, though. These two freshman running backs, probably not going to help you next year. You know, you hope Seth Davis can come back. You know what Xavier Gayton can do. Need him to kind of take the next step. But we've got to go get a guy out of the portal. We have to. And we probably need a guy that's, you know, physically imposing to run in this league. I don't mean just a straight one-cut runner. You need a guy that's dynamic, but we have got to get a running back out of the portal. All right, 4 receivers, and of course that includes Furzell Shepherd, who we do not expect to be here when the class reports, but Devion Jackson, seen him in person, Anson Lewis, Saw him earlier in his career. Never seen Isaiah Mitchell. But, you know, this group, all around 6 foot, a little bit smaller. And so I worry a little bit about that. But, you know, we went with some bigger receivers last year. Yeah, so we'll see how things kind of progress there. But so, again, probably need to take a couple of dynamic playmakers out of the portal there. The offensive line, we have five guys on the offensive line. We talked about these sizes, right? 6'6", 6'6", 6'5", 6'8", 6'5". The 6'8 guy, Braden Turnage, a guy that's only played 1 year of football, he won't help us next year. But I think the rest of these guys will. Of course, three of them are from the junior college ranks. And then there's Spencer Dowland, you know, a former Auburn commitment, you know, a guy that State basically flips from Auburn. And so I like what we've done on the offensive line, but I don't know that if we've done enough on the offensive line. Probably need to get us a couple out of the portal. And these junior college guys, even if they're two deepers this year, you know, two deepers this year, maybe understudies for a year, and then we'll see how things progress, you know, the following year. But, you know, we had to get bigger bodies. We did. But it's not enough. Tight end, of course, you know about Joseph Skipworth. He flips from Kansas to Mississippi State after his official visit. Some people think we don't do that. We do. The linebackers, I actually like this group. There's actually three backers in the class. You know, there were four, but Lockhart, of course, being the missing one there. But A.J. Rice, LaKendra James, and then Tyshawn Willis. Now, Tyshawn could be a guy that you could line up as an edge. Sometimes I think you can move him around. I think he's a little more multiple. And we'll see how that goes. But, you know, the thing that upsets me with this class, and it's the same thing with all you guys too, right? We have not been able to recruit a difference maker on the defensive line in a while. You know, last year we knew the needs on a defensive line, and we go out and get Suleiman Paka, a great guy, who's a backup at Purdue. He comes in, has to play some starter minutes for us, but you know, that's not going to move the needle, right? Kedrick Bingley-Jones, a guy that's been hurt throughout his career, we sign him, and guess what? He was hurt here too. And that's not being critical of him. Some guys just have the can't-get-right disease. So as it stands right now, we got two junior college guys, 6'4", 320 and 6'5", 290. I like the measurables. But these guys are coming from the junior college ranks. You know, they're two deepers. And they're not difference makers at this point, right? I think everybody kind of sees it for what it is. So we have not addressed our needs on a defensive line. We don't have any true high school defensive linemen committed. Because Tyshawn Willis, again, may be an edge guy. Maybe a backer. Just kind of depends on what we need him to do. He gives you some versatility. But that's a pretty glaring hole within the class that's got to be remedied. Now, I do like our defensive back class. And I don't know that we're going to get enough press, even within our own fan base, for this DB class. We talked about Kyle Johnson joining the class. I think this guy's a great player. He's a seventh-rated player in the state of Louisiana. Tony Mitchell, a former high school All-American, signed with Nick Saban in Alabama, should be an impact player for us. And then Lojack, we talked about him earlier. Love his game. Nasekou Smith's a guy that's got to get bigger. Amarion Jefferson, I think, is a bit of a sleeper, too. Guy had 19 offers, but they were all G5 outside of Mississippi State. But you begin to ask yourself, too, like, if granted, he didn't play 2 years of G5 football, so I'm not suggesting that. But if he was an ascending player in the portal, you know, they'd maybe coming to you from, you know, Toledo or something, you'd say, okay, all right, guy, good numbers. Amarion Jefferson's a guy that played quarterback in high school and then learned to play corner in junior college. So he's probably get two deeper this year. But if you look at him athletically, he's as good-looking corner as that we've had on the board. And then there's Jabrius Stewart, a kid out of Mississippi Delta Community College. Hits like a truck. I'm eager to see what he can do. You know, is he a starter this year? No. And so you've heard me say that several times. We signed some good players, but we haven't signed a lot of guys outside of maybe the offensive line that I think are going to make a big difference next year. Again, Mason Clinton, Jamarcus Moy will be in the rotation and maybe get you 15, 20 snaps a game. And you need guys like that. But that's not going to be enough for us to take a step forward in the Southeastern Conference. We have got to find a way to get some marquee defensive linemen. We have to. And I would suggest that probably everybody's job depends on it. I think it's that important. We're not going to be sitting here next year having the same conversation. You know, the Mississippi State's got to play better, period. We showed some flashes on offense. There were some games the offense played well and the defense didn't. Other games like the Egg Bowl, defense played well, offense didn't. And I give those young men some credit against Ole Miss. The defensive line played well in the ballgame. They did. They did. But how many weeks did it take for us to get them in the shape? And that's one thing that concerns me about next year. You know, again, you know, we don't want to make excuses for people, but the reality of it is, you know, we found out last year, right before the season, that Gabe Moore was going to have to opt out and not play because of a medical issue not related to football. Then you lose Dink in the season opener again. Trevion gets a little bit banged up. He was hurt all throughout camp. He did play extensively this year. But, you know, then you lose Kedrick Bingley-Jones. You know, I mean, there's just so much of that. You look at it's like, well, you know, how did we get to this point? Well, we had an incredible lack of depth, and that's something that has to be addressed. And we probably need to oversign in the portal. You probably need to go sign a full defensive line in the portal. Plus one. Especially if you can find a third defensive end guy. Because you don't have those guys. And I would venture to say maybe you need to go get four defensive ends. If you can get them. Now, of course, a lot of guys going in the portal is like, hey, coach, you're signing four defensive ends in the portal. I don't know if it's going to work for me. I'm going to go somewhere. I'm going to have starter snaps. And so we're in a very interesting predicament with this defensive line stuff. And I don't think – have we done some things to address it? Yeah, but nowhere near enough. Because I don't care if we're great on offense, if we can't stop the running game next year, if we can't rush the passer, it's not going to matter. There is not a more emergent need on the Mississippi State roster than a defensive line. And Coach Turner and everybody involved is going to have to step it up. That's just the reality of it is what it is. You know, we can't sit here and romanticize this. The reality of it is we are in a very, very bad spot with the defensive line. And, you know, again, there's not a lot of confidence today. You know, like I've read some of these, you know, comments out there. You know, it's like people want to cherry pick for kind of what fits their narrative. It was a calculated risk on the Tylan Coleman thing, and it blew up in our face. It's like, hey, if we take Coleman, what does that do for Hardy? And so I think we kind of half-stepped a little bit there and ended up with nothing. You know, that's not a good deal when we make a half-measured bet and then it goes bust and we end up with neither party. We got to make sure you get somebody. And I think that's one of the things, too, about relationship building, right? We've got to make sure that these guys understand, I'm not just saying yes to somebody else. We got to make it impossible for guys to say no to us. It's like, hey, I've been with Coach Turner. I've been with Coach Hutzler. I've been with Coach Levy. I've been with Mississippi State throughout this process. So it's not just an institution. It's relationship. It's teammates. It's players. It's friends. I can't say no to them to say yes to you because that's what happens late. Basically, your relationship building, now that we have removed the illegal, you know, payment thing, you know, that's what we always used to say. Well, Ole Miss flipped a guy on signing day. I'm sure they dropped the bag, right? That's what we used to say. We can drop the same bag. And so what happens in the last 10 days of recruiting is your relationship building skills are put to the test. Does it make sense to you? Sure it does. Now, I have worked for some people and with some people, and you know, there was a time not too terribly long ago when I had everybody in the industry trying to get me to leave Scout.com. had offers from ESPN, Rivals, others, for more money. And I thought, do I really want to go compete against Gene and David? I've been with these guys forever. I've got a great relationship. And so it's not just, hey, I can make more money. I'm probably going to lose two valued friends in the process. And everybody says, well, you got to do what's best for your family. I think ideally, maybe a little bit less money was better for my family because I ended up in a position where I ultimately bought Gene's page. And so, yes, it worked out well for me. And I think loyalty should be rewarded. So when somebody comes up late and says, okay, Mississippi State was willing to pay you, $25,000, we'll give you $40,000. Do I have a relationship out there that could be, instrumental in me making my adult career that's worth $15,000? Like, am I going to walk away from what I have known and loved for $15,000? What's the price tag for that? When you look at Kamario Taylor and you want to talk about everything that is right with a recruit, you look at Kamario. And I asked Jeff Lebby this question today. Kamario Taylor, and I had somebody close to him share this with me, wanted to win the locker room during the recruiting process. He wanted to know everybody that Mississippi State was recruiting. He went to all the home games. He came to all the recruiting events. Came to official visit weekends as an unofficial visitor. And he met every one of the guys that Mississippi State's recruiting. Every one of them. How many guys do you know that have done that? I can tell you a couple. Tyler Russell did that. DJ Looney did that. God rest his soul. DJ was the guy on Monday texting everybody all the commitments, say, hey, you got to be here this weekend for the home game because so-and-so is going to be here. We're all going to work together and recruit him. We're going to get him to be a part of everything with us. You have to have an alpha dog, and you have to have a mayor. And your quarterback had the opportunity to go to Georgia. Wouldn't even take the visit. So in this day and time where everybody runs Facebook, it's all about money these days. And you know what? For a lot of people, it is. But for Kamario Taylor, it was about Mississippi State. To me, that's the biggest thing. We talk about relationship building. All of these guys that took official visits to Mississippi State, that had a chance to hang out with Kamario, when they get on campus, they're going to know, hey, that's my quarterback. And he made the effort to be here when I was visiting Mississippi State to make sure that I felt welcomed. He wanted to have a relationship with me before we were even teammates. You don't think that's going to matter in the locker room or in the huddle or when it's fourth and goal at the one at Vaught Hemingway Stadium? That's when it matters. You don't build a relationship when you get here. You don't build a relationship the first day at camp. You build a relationship now. And what that tells me is Kamario Taylor wants to lead your football program. Kamario Taylor doesn't just want to wear the uniform. He wants to be a Bulldog. He wants to be a legendary Bulldog. It's not like he committed to us and like all he has, Southern Miss or Memphis, and all due respect to those programs. But he had Georgia and Texas A&M come in the final weeks and test his resolve. And we found out that his will is good. I feel better about Kamario Taylor today than I have at any point. I remember watching him at Big Dog Camp a couple summers ago, and I'm like, hey, this kid's got a little something to him. Then I go watch him in a Jeff Davis County game from field level, and I'm like, you know what? This kid makes me want to go put on a uniform. He's special. He absolutely is. And Mississippi State is special to him. In this day and age of immediate eligibility to transfer portal and NIL and all this kind of other stuff that's going on that so many people have grown to hate, it's refreshing to know that you've got a young man out here that picked your school not because you were the highest bidder, but because he saw this as the best opportunity for him to build a legacy. And rather than sit at home and play in PlayStation, he came to town and did everything he could to make sure that the best players around him possible were assembled to help turn this program around. That is leadership. And that is one of those things that fires me up. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Campus Bookmart doing a great job just providing a great fan base with Mississippi State merch. Whether you're looking for apparel or gift ideas, knickknacks, whatever, you know, this is little areas in your house where you just need a little something, you can find it at Campus Bookmart. The great selection of apparel there is just kind of unsurpassed. A lot of people make the claim that they have the best selection. Well, they're pretenders to the throne. Yeah, Campus Bookmart will take care of you. Every Bulldog on your list wants new Mississippi State merch. So make Christmas shopping easy by visiting them online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. All right, the Mississippi State women's basketball team no longer undefeated. We knew it would be a real challenge on the road against Georgia Tech, an undefeated Georgia Tech team that's now 8-0. But Bulldogs came out pretty hot. Bulldogs win the first quarter by 2 and then take a 5-point lead into the halftime dressing room. After 3, the game is tied. Sets up a decisive fourth quarter. Georgia Tech outscores us by 3 in the fourth quarter to win 78-75. Bit of a heartbreaker. But these are the kinds of games, too, that you know, traditionally you kind of find out a little bit about yourself. You know, just kind of looking back here at the box for those of you that that may have missed it. At the six-minute mark, State is up a point, and then that's when Georgia Tech takes the lead on a three-point basket. 67-65. And it was pretty much nip and tuck the rest of the way. State ties it. They go back up, and then next thing you know, it's a three-point basket. It's a five-point lead right around the four-minute mark. State cuts it to 2, and then it's down 4 at 3 minutes. We get to the two-minute mark. State gets a two-point basket from Chandler Preitler to make it a 74-72 game. And then we get a stop, and then State, with a huge three-point basket from DeBrescia Poe, makes it 75-74 with 1:25 to go. Georgia Tech with a layup to go up 1. State misses a shot, gets an offensive rebound by Nia Russell. Ja'Kayla Jordan misses a 3. We end up with the ball back. A chance for us to kind of 37 seconds to go, and we miss a layup. Ja'Kayla Jordan's not going to happen very often. No, you know, there appeared to be some contact. We don't get a call there. We end up having a foul, and they make a couple of free throws, and that's your ball game. 15 seconds to go, you know, State has the ball back, and we end up firing a shot up, and we just couldn't get it done. Sorry about the racket there. We got that resolved. But, it's heartbreaking. But you knew it was going to be a test for the Bulldogs. I think it's safe to say even with a loss, you can feel good about your team. Bulldogs, it's just a tough deal, man. It just is. We knew we weren't going to go undefeated, but 8-1 now on the year. Looking inside the numbers, Ja'Kayla Jordan, 25. And, man, don't you know she wished she had one more basket, right? Anaya Russell with 18 off the bench. Chandler Preitler with 10. Bulldogs pretty balanced scoring tonight in their 75-point total. Bulldogs just 7 of 17 from beyond the arc, but 32 of 59 from the floor. Pulled down 38 rebounds, only 3 on the offensive end. That's a pretty significant stat, I think we'd agree. But also 17 turnovers to 17 assists. Gives Georgia Tech some credit for their defensive play in the ballgame. Georgia Tech with 23 points from Kara Dunn. Kind of highlighted her when we previewed this game. But Tony Morgan with 15. They were 12 of 38 from beyond the arc. Didn't get to the line much, but they did connect on all 6 of their free throws. And we talk about rebounding, 12 offensive rebounds for them. And again, that's the difference in the game. Second chance points always seems to make the difference. Bulldogs with 0 second chance points. Georgia Tech, on the other hand, 9 second chance points. How many times have you seen a team have 0 second chance points? That happened very often. And good bench scoring from the Tech Yellow Jackets, too, with 30 points. So, ladies, we'll look to regroup. They'll be back in action sooner rather than later. This Sunday, it's Chicago State and Chicago, Illinois. And we'll preview that game a little bit on Friday. So, very significant, you know, play tonight, even though we didn't get the win. And looking forward to the ladies being back in Humphrey Coliseum. I know you guys feel the same way. But we'll be at Tupelo on Saturday, December 14th. It's a big day. Make sure you turn out for that. The next time the ladies are back in Humphrey Coliseum is all the way at December 29th. So during the Christmas break, we're going to be on the road a good bit. If they come to your neck of the woods, we encourage you to come out and check them out and be a part of it and have that little sliver of maroon in the arena there. It's always a great thing to pack the car and come be a part of things when the Bulldogs are in your neck of the woods. Very, very important aspect of things, for sure. I need to turn that thing down. People out here, you know, commenting on all these Facebook posts that we put up for today. Tons of coverage for free over at jeanspage.com. If you missed anything, you can go by and check it out. And that's always a part of a thing, you know, is even if you're not a member, you can read our free content. We make all the big room stuff. The thing that we know that everybody else could have, they may not have it, but they could have it. Everybody else has access to it. We make that stuff free. The exclusive interviews and features, we make those things VIP. So come be a part of our merry band of misfits over at jeanspage.com. Again, 50% off the annual subscription price the rest of the year. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. We got some breaking news. I got to talk about it. Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. I can't wait to stay there myself. Yeah, here we go. Yeah. People are messing me, Steve. I can't wait for the Boneyard. I got to finish, guys. Stark Vegas Clubhouse, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. An incredible place to stay. 5 bedrooms, soon to be 6 bedrooms, 2 baths. You got the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the great back porch area, the fire pit area. It's a great place to just kind of rest and recuperate after a long week. Maybe come to town during midweek, take in some Mississippi State men's and women's basketball, and just kind of enjoy being together. You know, we love having everybody under one roof. That's the most important thing in life, right? Right? Just family. And whether it's your chosen family or your birth family, you have an opportunity to get everybody together and make some memories at a wonderful, wonderful venue, Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Be sure and Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. And when you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate. You'll have the opportunity to peruse the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest. In addition to that, you're going to see some booking options, Airbnb, VRBO, and the Evolve website. Now, if you book through the Evolve website, I can save you some money. Promo code BSR10, BSR10, gets you 10% off your stay. How about that? Just by listening to this show, you get an opportunity to stay at a great venue at a reduced price. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse. The best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. And as you can imagine, my notifications are going crazy. And you know what we're fixing to talk about, right? Tyler Lockhart is a Mississippi State Bulldog. How about that? What a turn of events. It's one of the wildest stories I've ever experienced in my career. It's absolutely nuts. So here's what I'm going to tell you. Here is what I have been told. Now, I got a phone call, and let me check here. I'm just going to – I'll give you the time, right? Let's see here. Let's see here. Let's see. I got a phone call, I don't know, about 7:40, that things – I told you guys earlier in the show, there's some things that weren't quite right with Tyler Lockhart. And I was just kind of teasing it because I couldn't really wrap my mind around it. It's like, I don't want to get everybody excited and then it not work out. Well, it's worked out. It's worked out. It's crazy. It's nuts. All right, so here's how it works, okay? Let me give you some backstory, okay? Many of you will remember a name, Floyd Raven. Does that name sound familiar to you? So here's the story, and you can Google yourself and go back and do your own fact-checking. I'm just going to kind of give you the paraphrased version of this. There was a defensive back named Floyd Raven, and if memory serves me correct, his parents were not together, okay? Ole Miss had kind of recruited the kid and the mom, and if memory serves me correct, Floyd lived with the dad. So on signing day, a letter of intent showed up in Oxford that Floyd Raven was signing with Ole Miss. Well, another letter of intent showed up at Texas A&M. So both schools announced him as a signee. And everybody's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Now, the allegation was is that the mom forged his signature and faxed it to Ole Miss. Meanwhile, Floyd and his dad signed with Texas A&M. And so Ole Miss ultimately does the right thing, and they release him from the scholarship because he wanted to go to Texas A&M. So after that happened, and give Ole Miss some credit here. They're like, hey, we can't let this happen again. Okay, so what we have to put some safeguards in place. So they began to make all of the financial aid agreements and scholarship paperwork had to be e-signed. That's a better way to do business anyway. Everybody kind of does that. Okay, so now flash forward. Now here's what I've been told. As you guys are well aware, all day today the discussion's been that Tyler Lockhart's mom does not want him going to Ole Miss. And that's not a shot at Ole Miss. Okay, I want to make sure everybody understands that. There's no beef with Ole Miss. This is about her and her family, right? T.J. Lockhart is here. Fat Clark is here. Fat Clark is Tyler's best friend. T.J. is Tyler's brother. Tyler is a 17-year-old young man. And the belief is, among those close to him, that he would do better with Fat and TJ here at Mississippi State. That would just be, you know, an easier transition leaving home and going off to college to have a built-in support system. Now, on the Ole Miss side of things, and give Pete Golding some credit, you know, Pete Golding really confused the issue with Tyler Lockhart. And that's a great recruiter's job. It's like, hey, I think I know what I want to do. Well, let me provide you with an alternative. And part of the issue was like, you know, hey, what do you really want to do? Well, you know, Mississippi State's talking that maybe I'm a Mike linebacker, maybe an inside backer. I'd like to be outside or be an edge rusher. And Golding, from what I'm told, is like, okay, cool. We'll let you be whatever you want to be. And we think maybe it's time for you to do your own thing. You know, and so Golding, again, had a good product to sell and outsold us. And I understand kind of worked with the dad a little bit the last couple of weeks to kind of turn the tide. And kind of had Tyler thinking, hey, this is what I want to do. And, you know, the mom just kind of put her foot in the ground and said, no, we're not doing that. I'm not going to sit here and judge anybody's family or their family situation. I don't know how everybody feels. I don't know what everybody's motivation is. And so I also don't know the details of that family dynamic. So I'm not going to sit here and in judgment of anybody. But here's what I was told. That Tyler's mom did not e-sign the documents for him to sign with Ole Miss. And that they kind of jumped the gun a little bit and reported him as a signee. Now, a source close to the matter tells me that Ole Miss did not list Tyler Lockhart officially as a signee in the NCAA database. Well, in order to do that, by their own language, they've got to have those e-signed documents. They didn't have them. Well, now Mississippi State does, as Tyler and his mom have both signed and e-signed documents that has now been approved and accepted by Mississippi State compliance, and Mississippi State has now officially released Tyler Lockhart as a signee to Mississippi State for the 2025 class. Jeff Lebby, quote tweets the Mississippi State football tweet. It says, born a Bulldog, hashtag family, hashtag Hell State. Earlier, as this thing began to unfold, Jeff Lebby tweets out the Undertaker rising from the grave WWE GIF that we've seen so many times over the years. So it's a very unique situation. Now, I'm sure that Ole Miss people will say, well, you know, technically he signed with us. But in order to sign, you have to officially sign. And I'm told on the first page of the Ole Miss financial aid agreement, it says, in order to properly facilitate your scholarship, you have to e-sign the documents. It appears that has not been done. This is a very unique situation. I am sure that we're probably going to hear a lot about this in the days to come. Who knows? The SEC office may have to get involved and sort this thing out. Who knows? You got two schools within the same state in the same conference, both claiming a signee. One has e-signed documents from the player and the parent, and one does not. But both have announced as a signee. If Ole Miss did not facilitate the financial aid agreement and scholarship documents correctly, he's a recruitable athlete. I'm also told by a source that all throughout the day that Ole Miss's administrators, coaches, whoever, I don't know specifically who, have been reaching out to Tyler's mother to say, hey, we need you to e-sign these documents. We need you to e-sign these documents. And she never did, reportedly. So it's a very unique situation. That's what I know. And again, this kind of stems back to something that happened in 2011. You put some safeguards in to ensure that you're protected. And then your policy and procedure was not followed correctly. So I'm sure Ole Miss will make a claim. And Greg Sankey may have to get involved and say, hey, and speak to the mom and say, okay, what's correct here, right? What's correct? You guys going to State or you going to Ole Miss? And so I am sure there will be another chapter to this, and there will be some finality to this. But I know this, as conservative as Mississippi State's compliance department is, there is no way that Mississippi State is going to take a chance on this without knowing that they had everything correct. Period. Just not going to happen. And it's been the joke over the years, right? We've all talked about it, right? Bracky Brett, those guys in the compliance office, and Steve Smith, they never let us do anything. They'll self-report this. Knowing what you know about the history of Mississippi State compliance, do you think for one second that Mississippi State's compliance would have gone along with this if they didn't believe what they were doing was legal and within the proper protocol of the NCAA? Of course not. Now, I got to finish this thing up because I got to get out here and get on the message boards and see what everybody's saying. I got to get on my own message board and answer questions for all of you. And, people were kind of wondering, Steve, what's going on? I went out there and I tweeted out, just to kind of give you a point of reference here. After I got the call and it looked like this was going to happen, I tweeted out the old Animal House GIF. And maybe you saw it and you didn't know what it was. I tweeted this out. Let me find it here. I tweeted it out at an hour ago, right at 9 o'clock, 8:49. I tweet out the, was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? At 8:49. And that's when I believed that this was going to work out. That's been a very long and difficult day. Your good friend and host went to bed at 1:30 and got up at 6. We had some East Coast signees, and I thought they'd be announcing earlier than the day. Of course, they didn't. We had a flurry of signees shortly thereafter. But, yeah, it's been a long day, and it's been a frustrating day. I mean, let's just kind of all call it for what it is. Now, this does not excuse where we are on defensive line recruiting. However, you know, getting Tyler Lockhart in the boat says a lot about, you know, closing out on defensive playmakers. And that was one of the things that frustrated me, right? I understand we've had some challenges on our defensive line, and we're going to have to fix that in the portal. But all of a sudden, you know, you start thinking about the day and about the things we kind of prepared you for. And the one thing that we thought would go our way that was a little bit contentious, well, there was two really. We thought, you know, the Ole Miss side was crystal balling Saquon Miles to Ole Miss. We said no. No. No, that's not the case. And Saquon Miles signed with Mississippi State. There were a lot of people in the national college football media that said, hey, Tyler Lockhart's going to flip to Ole Miss. And I told everybody, I think it's going to work out. But as the day went on, I said, I can't tell you how this thing's going to go. You know, when I left the press conference at the Seal Complex this afternoon after Jeff Lebby spoke, I felt pretty confident it was going to work out. And next thing I know, he's announcing on streaming that it's going to be Ole Miss. And I'm like, well, there we go, you know. So we get browbeaten on the message boards and on social media. Oh, that's Steve that knows what he's talking about. This isn't about me, okay? This is about Mississippi State. I mean, you hear all this stuff happening, right? And I keep turning it down, but they keep coming. So, again, it's a very unique situation, and we're going to have to sit back and kind of let things play out. We'll probably get some more direction tomorrow. But based on everything that we know about modern-day signing day procedures, Mississippi State followed them to a T. And again, if Ole Miss did not facilitate their own signing protocol, and it appears that they did not, and they did not list him officially as a signee with the NCAA database, then he is a recruitable athlete and free to sign with anybody. What do you know? And I got all these people on Facebook, hey, well, this article was written a couple days ago. Yes, we pre-write the articles for signing day. Give it a break. Give it a break. So I wanted to get out here and kind of, you know, get. I plan to cover the men's basketball cover in State's killing Pitt right now. But I want to get this up for you guys, you know, kind of as quickly as we can, because I know many of you are eager to hear this. So Mississippi State under four is up 73-44 over Pitt. So State is going to lead that, and they're going to win that game. And what a great comeback for Chris Jans and the team. You know, we needed to kind of pick it up after that Butler loss, and there's nothing like coming home. And this is a nationally ranked Pitt team. Mississippi State, I think it was Sam Sklar from the Clarion Ledger said the Pitt's trip to the dentist hadn't been very pleasurable. And it's true, but it's a remarkable night. And, you know, here's the thing that I would say is I believe this is going to work out the way we wanted it to for Mississippi State. But because of this unique situation, there may not be finality for a day or so, you know. And so it's after 10 o'clock Mississippi State time. And so we will look forward to speaking to some sources and kind of getting some clarity on the official end tomorrow. And so we come back. And if you need to be on the jeanspage.com message boards tomorrow. As this drama begins to kind of unfold, that's where we're going to be sharing the information. Right there. We're going to share that information on our VIP True Maroon board. And it's incredible, all these people that are messaging me, texting me, Steve, what is going on? I've never seen anything like it. I haven't either. And so that's what I know. That's what I've been told. Okay. And again, we're not accusing anybody on the Ole Miss side of doing anything improper or illegal. It just seems to me that they did not have the mother's signature, which is required for minors. And we've had some people on Twitter like, oh, you know, parents shouldn't be that involved. You know, I completely disagree. Now, I didn't tell my kids where to go to school, but if I felt that my children were making a mistake, I would step in, and I hope you would as well. right? And this is not about a rooting interest. I believe what I've been told all along is that mama wants the boys together. And when you start thinking about them going to two different schools, I mean, if he wanted to go to a separate, if he didn't want to go to Mississippi State, he could have stuck with Auburn, right? And so him going to Ole Miss is basically like him going to Auburn. Mom's got to pick and choose what game she goes to on game day. It's a lot easier on mom for both guys to be on the same team. And so, again, not in any way accusing anybody involved with Ole Miss of doing anything that they shouldn't have done with this. They were recruiting the same player we were for the same reasons. And, of course, they'd love to flip one on signing day to kind of stick it to us as part of being rivals. So, again, not accusing anybody of doing anything illegal or against NCAA. It just sounds like to me they didn't finish the deal the way they should have. And ultimately, I suspect somebody will step in and say, hey, both of you guys reported them as a signee. We've got to sort this thing out. And so State has the signed documents from mom and player. Ole Miss does not. And so that's an important thing. But I guess, you know, at the end, maybe Greg Sankey gets involved and says, you know, hey, Tyler Lockhart, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? Mom, what do you want him to do? You know, he's a minor, so how does this thing play out? And so for tonight, Tyler Lockhart is a Mississippi State signee. He's been put back on the Mississippi State commitment list and the Mississippi State signee list. And let's see what that does for us. You know, and again, what a wild day this has proven to be. Absolutely incredible day for a lot of different reasons. But all of a sudden, you start thinking, you feel a little bit better about your class, right? Don't you all? You just feel better. And now all of a sudden, State's 28. We were hoping to get the 25s, and you lose a couple of guys. But, you know, you had lost three. You added three and lost three. Like, you lost Clemens, you lost Hardy, and you lost Lockhart. Well, you get Lockhart back. If you had added three and kept those three, you certainly would be in the top 25. But currently ranked 28 right now. And, again, it's just I'm almost at a loss for words here. That says a lot for me. So let me remind you, too, if you hadn't done so, go to DutyNobleBook.com. You can get signed copies of The Dude. Delivered directly to your door, and if you want to buy it for somebody else, we'll have it shipped to them. We had replenished all of our Starkville vendors today. That's Campus Bookmart, Maroon & Company, Bookmart & Cafe downtown, and Liza Ty here in town. I'm going to be at Lemuria Books on Saturday and at Persnickety, 12 to 1 at Lemuria, and then 2 to 4 at Persnickety. I like going to Persnickety. I do. The scenery there is great. Great. In addition to that, too, a lot of things coming up. And come float with us at True West Float Spa of Starkville. You can get gift cards. We've had a lot of that lately, too. A lot of people thinking, hey, Steve, it's a great gift. It's BOGO time. Dial 662-268-7601. And you can speak to my lovely wife, Dana. And she can walk you through it. And whether you're thinking, I've always wanted to try it, but I'd like a friend to try it with me. What a great opportunity. Buy one, get one free. Floats. And maybe you know somebody that suffers with anxiety or chronic pain. Maybe buy that form as a unique gift, right? Super duper thing. A lot of good ways that we could make your Christmas, right? Get the Jeans Page subscription for 50% off the annual subscription price. Get 2-for-1 floats. And then get a signed copy of the greatest Mississippi State book of all time, The Dude. Yeah, and very happy to. Number 6 on the Mississippi bestsellers list. Would love to be number 1. We're competing against, you know, Wright Thompson and John Grisham and people like that. But nevertheless, I appreciate your support. I got to get this thing wrapped up and get it loaded. And then we're going to get over to jeanspage.com and answer your questions, get caught up. And I may go peek at some Ole Miss message boards just to kind of see what they're saying. That's one of the benefits, too, of being a subscriber to 247 is you get to read other teams' message boards and kind of see what they're talking about. So when we beat somebody, it's fun to go over there and kind of hear what they have to say. And kind of the week of game day, too, you can kind of get a sense of how they feel about the team. That's a great benefit. And so come be a part of that over at jeanspage.com. And like right now, our friends at Jeans Page, our Mississippi State members, they're going over to the Ole Miss message board and reading the meltdown over there about this Tyler Lockhart thing. Now, earlier today, the Ole Miss people were on our message boards reading our meltdown, right? And so, again, what a wild situation. And I just can't believe this has happened. Number one, I couldn't believe that he flipped to Ole Miss. And then now I can't believe at the end of the day, he's on the Mississippi State signing list. Crazy, crazy times. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.